"Let me just run this by my lawyer" is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print? Or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
I'm so excited to tell you JCPenney and country music singer-songwriter Walker Hayes are partnering together on a new limited-time men's collection for the everyday guy. What I love about Walker Hayes is his laid-back nature. He's a family man, and being a country megastar while also having 7 kids, you know he likes to keep his style cool and casual. This new collection is perfect for the guy living the t-shirt life or someone wanting some fresh options that feel just as good. It's easy to wear, affordable styles that celebrate the ultimate family man, along with the quality, durability, and sensibility dads appreciate. Available online Saturday, May 4th at jcp.com and in-store Thursday, May 16th. Just in time for Father's Day. Limited time only. JCPenney, make it count.
Hey, Ken, did you know that gold is the only currency that's held its value since the dawn of money?
Well, I did. Thanks to our friends at Legacy Precious Metals, the most trusted name in gold investing.
Investing in gold protects you against inflation and gives you a hedge against stock market volatility.
Don't leave your retirement to chance. Call Legacy Precious Metals today at 866-691-2173.
Or download your free investor's guide now at buylegacygold.com. That's buylegacygold.com. Well, this isn't good here. I was mentioning before the news that Trump had posted 60 times on his Truth Social site, and he was still carrying on about the 2020 election, and he was demanding a new election immediately, that he be restored as president. But now that they're going through the 60 posts, it looks like there's other crazy stuff there. He started posting QAnon messages. He's posted the QAnon slogan, where we go one, we go all. He also reposted a message from Q himself from years ago that's critical of the intelligence community. And then people started posting responses urging Trump to wipe them out, sir. Other Q followers asked Trump to nuke them from orbit. And to, sir, please finish them off, referring to Joe Biden and Hillary Clinton. He also shared conspiracy theories, posted a picture of Biden, Kamala Harris, and Nancy Pelosi with black bars over their eyes and the words, your enemy is not in Russia. He's also made posts suggesting FBI planted evidence against him. The search was politically motivated, and so now he's actually quoting the QAnon leader in his posts. Good, and those guys are the most likely to start a civil war. They are armed. I mean, it looks like he thinks he's going to command his army to make another run. I don't know, something spooky about that. He also is freaking out the French president. He's claiming in one of these posts that there's an item on the list of documents that the FBI confiscated. And it's listed as information regarding the president of France. And Trump has bragged to some of his closest associates, both when he was in the White House and afterwards, that he knew details about the love life of French President Emmanuel Macron. Two people told that to Rolling Stone. And Trump claimed that he learned about some of the dirt through intelligence he'd seen or been briefed on. Now, they don't know if this Macron document that the FBI seized has anything to do with Macron's personal life. Now, as you know, Macron is about, 44, 45 years old, and his wife is 25 years older. So she's probably about 70 now. So, I don't know. May not be surprising that a handsome 45-year-old politician in France, of all places, would go running around in his 70-year-old wife. Trump has talked about Macron's naughty ways that not very many people know about. And there, it says here it has triggered a transatlantic freakout, according to two other sources who are familiar with the situation. So apparently there's something to it, because if there was nothing to it, nobody would be freaking out. But French officials are working with U.S. officials to try to figure out exactly what Trump has on Macron and France's government. And if anything is serious, they want to know if it signified some kind of national security breach or it was just something innocuous. Now, Trump has never given any details or any specifics as to what Macron's sex life is about, and you'd never know if it has anything to do with reality. It is often, according to one source, it's hard to tell if he's BSing or not. But there must be something, because it caused the French officials to freak out, right? Because if it was entirely made up, it wouldn't be that big a deal. And he's done this on with other people too, so you just never know what's nonsense. Now, you know what's funny is, if we had a rational world, and I want to get into this further into the next segment. If we had a rational world, the next story would be what everybody would be obsessing on. This was in the Wall Street Journal today, and it talked about the fentanyl industry that has exploded in Mexico and is sending billions of dollars worth of fentanyl here to the United States. Now, opioid overdose has claimed more than 108,000 lives in the U.S. in the last year, 108,000 people. I mean, that's 2.5 times the number of people killed in automobile accidents. And it is the most devastating drug we have ever seen, according to a former drug Enforcement Administration official. They are making so much in Mexico so cheaply, and they're flooding the U.S. And there's two huge drug cartels who are facilitating this right now. And China had been supplying the materials to Mexico. But a few years ago, Trump got them to crack down on fentanyl production. So now the Mexican drug cartels are doing everything themselves, creating the ingredients. It's a synthetic drug, so you can do this in a laboratory. And you use ingredients that are commonly used for other medications. So there's no way to ban the ingredients. And they have many, many labs. And, you know, there is a medical use for fentanyl for people who have severe pain in hospital settings. But I'm going to tell you about how these fentanyl laboratories work and how much fentanyl and how much money the Mexican drug cartels are making and how little anybody in the U.S. or in Mexico is doing about it. They're looking at tens of billions of dollars of drugs, tens of billions of dollars to the U.S. from Mexico. And it's Americans who are injecting and snorting all this. It's all coming up next. That's, you know, if we had a rational political system, that's what we'd be hearing the debate about. John and Ken, KFI. So the Wall Street Journal today had what I think is the definitive story on the drug cartels and the fentanyl supply And it is actually staggering here. Well, this is one of these overwhelming problems that no one is doing anything effective against. Fentanyl is extremely easy to make and very cheap to make. And the fentanyl has killed, along with the other opioids, over 108,000 people a year. Fentanyl and other synthetic opioids are more than half of that total. And it's the most pernicious, most devastating drug we've ever seen, says Jim Crotty, who used to be an official at the Drug Enforcement Agency. And these work like multinational corporations. They have labs all over the place. Nobody knows how many there are. They can set them up very inexpensively, very quickly. They can tear them down, move them, abandon them to escape any police. And they talked to a fentanyl cook, makes $2,500 a week running a one-man lab, does his work in a hazmat suit, dark glasses, and a cloth mask. I guess he may inadvertently inhale some fentanyl dust, so he keeps the mask on, and if he gets a little queasy, he drinks milk. And it's a 10-by-10-foot room. And he mixes the ingredients to cook the fentanyl. And there's two drug cartels, Sinaloa and Jalisco. Sinaloa is in the northwest. Jalisco is farther south. And it's simpler than heroin. It's entirely synthetic. Doesn't require cultivating the poppies. They don't have to grow the poppies and convert it to heroin. They just mix the chemicals. And even if their labs get busted or there's a big seizure at the border, it can be quickly offset by new batches. You don't have to wait to harvest crops. You don't have to pay farmers. What they call heroin plant-based opium. Plant-based.
I like that.
Right. Maybe you ought to get into that. Add that to your plant-based diet.
Oh, yeah. Well, then I'll come to work feeling really good.
Take a hit of heroin. And it costs producers like $6,000 for a kilogram of heroin, but a kilogram of fentanyl is $200 or less. And it says the fentanyl offers economic and tactical advantages that allow criminals to vastly outpace law enforcement efforts. So that's why they're able to export tens of billions of dollars of illegal drugs annually. And they're actually producing less heroin because the fentanyl is cheaper and more useful. And Mexican poppy farmers are upset because their income is shrinking. Sinaloa is the market leader. It's like a multinational manufacturing corporation. They have illegal drugs and links to suppliers in dozens of countries, America, Latin America, Europe, and Asia. They have a security department, money laundering. They have a transportation department, production. And they have a department to bribe public officials. There is one town, Culiacan, filled with luxury cars, gated neighborhoods, and barrios. The rich people are connected to the drug industry. They even have a cemetery with air-conditioned tombs, resting place for the drug lords who've passed on, and their hitmen. In fact, the drug lords buy cemetery plots in bulk for their hitmen because there's a high kill rate. You go to the airport gift shop in Culiacan, and you can buy baseball caps emblazoned with the number 701. 701 was the ranking in 2009, Forbes magazine, the richest people in the world, and Joaquin Guzman, known as El Chapo, made it to number 701. He's now serving a life sentence in a supermax prison, but he was famous in Mexico for making the Forbes rich man list. So now they have a baseball cap to honor him. And It has exploded in the 2010s. Drugs flowed from China through Mexico. Then Trump pressured China to stop it. And they did. They slowed it down. But Mexican cartels were ready to take advantage. They had trafficking networks already built for cocaine, marijuana, and heroin. You see, this is so important in your life because all those poor people in the streets there, a lot of them are whacked out on heroin and fentanyl. This is all presents from Mexico. It used to be China. It's another reason we have all these people dying in the streets. Meth has also made big inroads, more so now in the eastern states. Fentanyl is growing increasingly in the western states. There's a lot of overdoses because of it's so strong, and there's a lack of quality control. And they make them into these little pills that look like any ordinary painkiller you might have had at some point in your life. They're colored pink, yellow, and green. Some of them have the shape of a skull. So that would be a sign if you get a painkiller pill and it's got a Mexican skull on it. They also are made with butter flavoring. So that when you melt it on foil, the pills leave a golden trail and they smell like caramel popcorn. That means it's good stuff. If it smells like caramel popcorn, you've got a good supply of fentanyl. One manufacturer says he's made as many as 1 million pills in a week. 1 million pills. They make so many that their machines jam. 160,000 companies in China produce chemicals used in drug assembly. And a lot of those ended up in Mexico for many, many years. But now Mexico is doing a lot on its own. The Navy said and sees 320, well, it's been the Mexican Navy, sees 320 tons of illegal drugs in the past 6 months. They've destroyed 1,000 labs. But it doesn't matter because they can rebuild the labs just like that. Wow. This is another great thing about the modern age, the technology that allows them to make so many drugs, and they have such a big audience, and so it's no surprise we've got people lying all over the streets. I wonder if it just keeps going this way. This is clearly overwhelming. The Mexican government does some, but not enough. U.S. government doesn't seem to do much either, so this is just something that's going to keep spreading more and more. Unhappy people are going to take their fentanyl and heroin, and they're going to end up passed out in our streets. Does seem like we're headed for end of days, doesn't it? There isn't in this whole story, and it's a very long story in the Wall Street Journal, there wasn't one positive note, and there wasn't one a quote from anybody where, you know, there was a sense of optimism or a sense of, well, we're going to do this. Well, we think this is going to work. It was more like, hey, here's what's going on. Doing the best we can. But we're overwhelmed. This is a machine, a beast that's far bigger than we are. More coming up. John and Ken Show, KFI. I found this story fascinating today in the New York Times. They had this on the front page. You ever hear of uncontacted tribes? These are tribes deep in the Amazon rainforest, for example. And they might have these in parts of Africa, but I know they have them in the Amazon. And these are tribes that have been around for hundreds, thousands of years, and nobody from the outside, in a lot of cases, has ever seen them or ever spoken to them. And there's video online of occasionally researchers, anthropologists, archaeologists, they fly overhead in some kind of light plane or a helicopter, and these tribal members who might be covered in orange paint, enraged, run out and start yelling and shaking their fists and shooting arrows at the helicopters they go by. And we don't know the name of their tribe. We don't know their language. We don't know anything about them. In fact, we don't know them until sometimes they're accidentally run into or they're accidentally frightened by our modern helicopter. In Brazil, they have an agency called the Indigenous Protection Agency, and they had been monitoring a certain uncontacted tribe, and they feared that the tribe was down to one person. And they went to a hut, like a thatched hut, in the middle of the Amazon rainforest. And what they feared was true. They found a dead man lying in a hammock. He was the last member of the tribe. And when he died, what went with him was an entire culture and all the answers to 1,000 questions that researchers, anthropologists would have about the tribe, the language, the history. It's all gone now. The tribe doesn't exist anymore because he died. He was known as the Man of the Hole. He had dug dozens of holes in his territory over the years. They figured he was about 60 years old. And the researchers were saddened by this because they've been trying to provide protections for the in the indigenous groups. But by definition, they're uncontacted. And they don't want to be spoken with. They don't want to be discovered. We apparently want to know what they're about. They don't want to tell us. And the name of the indigenous agency is known as FUNAI, and they found his body on August 23rd, and probably natural causes. And they're going to run DNA tests, and he never talked to anybody. I actually was fascinated by this idea of being would you like to be an uncontacted person who lived in a hut in the middle of the Amazon rainforest, and nobody can understand you, and nobody ever talks to you? They have evidence of at least 114 groups in Brazil, but they only have confirmed 28. So the other 86 don't benefit from any government protections. See, the president of Brazil, his name is Bolsonaro. He has allowed industries to destroy parts of the Amazon, ranches, farming industry, record levels of deforestation, logging, mining, and Bolsonaro has scaled back protections for the indigenous groups. And so some of these ethnic groups become extinct without anyone knowing about their extinction. Unless these tribes officially register with Brazil, they won't get their land protected. They won't get their land marked off for protection. There's another tribe, the Pirapora tribe, only has 3 members left, 1 woman and 2 men, and the woman is not fertile. So there's not going to be any babies. Tribe is going to die out very soon, too. This guy that they found, the man in the hole, had been living in isolation for at least 26 years. The rest of his group was killed by ranchers because the country is allowing the ranchers to bulldoze the land, chop down all the trees in the Amazon forest, and start planting stuff. The group also was, some members were killed when they received poisoned sugar. A few members were gunned down in the early 1990s. Basically, it was genocide. And they were left with this one guy. And they tried to talk to him once, but he got very angry. He got very aggressive and violent. And they couldn't talk to him. Well, they couldn't understand him anyway. And there's nobody left who knows the language. They don't even know what the language was. But he had 26 years of peace in his little hut, which sounds very inviting. I'd like 26 years alone in a hut, speaking a language that nobody would understand. Wouldn't that be cool?
No, well, I wouldn't like it, but I can see how you would.
I And you know, and if anybody came by, he would just throw spears at them.
You remember the U.S. missionary guy who went to that Indian tribe that died in the hail of arrows?
Oh, yes, that's right.
It was like 2018 or something like that.
Yeah. There's there are still tribes. Oh, where is one of them? Near India. And I can't think of the name of the country. It's an island country. And if you take your boat on shore, there's a risk they'll eat you. They're a cannibalistic tribe.
No, thank you.
One of my sons wanted to go there on a vacation. He actually brought me the idea and then told me that sometimes the tribe eats tourists. I was like, well, no, I don't want to do that.
I'm sure your wife was thrilled.
Yeah, I have an interesting house. There's a message in there. Hey, Dad, let's go to the island where they eat the tourists. Okay, you're feeling good about us. Anyway, the man in the hole is dead now. And we'll never know the tribe he belongs to, or the language or their history. More coming up. John and Ken Show. Another fascinating thing I saw today was in Reason Magazine. And this is one of the reasons I don't believe in polling very much. And we certainly talk about polls from time to time just to use it as a guide, a loose guide. But there's a lot of, because people don't tell the truth to pollsters, and it's not just their political beliefs. It's on a lot of issues, because we have this cancel culture society for the last few years. And so people have been afraid to publicly say what they believe, and not just to a pollster, but sometimes anywhere from a public meeting to like maybe a school meeting among parents, maybe among friends at a dinner party. Sometimes even at home with your spouse. And they have a list of polling, and they have some kind of a method where they can determine people's public beliefs and private beliefs. And how they did this, how the methodology works, would be too much in the weeds to get into on the air. But just for argument's sake, I think there's a lot of truth in this here. For example, a majority of people will say publicly that mask wearing was effective, but they don't believe that in private. And this is according to a company called Populous, a social research organization. They say in recent years, polls consistently have found that most Americans feel they cannot share their honest opinions in public because they might offend somebody or there'd be retribution. So not only do they silence themselves, but they publicly misrepresent their own private views. So let me repeat that again. 59% of Americans publicly agree that wearing a mask was effective to stop COVID, but only 47% hold that view privately. That's a 12-point difference. And it's the difference between a majority view and a minority view. 59%. In reality, only 47 believe that. And they found that they went to like all these sub-demographics. People wanting to be in lockstep with their tribe publicly, but they don't really believe it at home. 44% of Democrats publicly insist that corporate CEOs should take stands on controversial issues. But in private, only 11% believe that. Here's one just on Asian Americans. 39% of Asian Americans publicly say the U.S. should completely phase out fossil fuels. Only 13% believe that privately. So people are virtue signaling. Here in this case, you have triple the support for phasing out fossil fuels among Asian Americans compared to what they really believe. For Republicans, 64% favor overturning Roe versus Wade publicly, but only 51% agree privately. Again, wanting to publicly agree with the tribe. There are a lot of Republicans who don't agree that Roe versus Wade should have been overturned, but they won't say it out loud. This is interesting because everyone thinks that young people under 30 are in lockstep with a certain ideology. Publicly, 42% of those 18 to 29, 40, let me rephrase this. Publicly, 65% of those 18 to 29 believe racism is built into the economy and government and the educational system. 65% publicly. Privately, only 42% believe that. Americans are misrepresenting what they actually believe to endorse views they don't really hold, according to Reason Magazine. I'm assuming these gaps are pretty big. They're 15, 20, 25 points difference. So a lot of the polling, a lot of the opinion making that's going on, the debate, is based on false information because people are so dishonest, they're so cowed. Everybody so desperately wants acceptance, is terrified of criticism, is terrified of being canceled, terrified of being ostracized by their social group. I've always wondered about that because we are now, there's this phrase, I mention it from time to time, called The Big Sort, which is one of the best books I ever read. Because most predictions made by experts are wrong. This was one that was correct. And it came out about 20 years ago. And The Big Sort said that 20 years ago, we were in the process of sorting ourselves out so we're all going to live with people like us. And not just racially, but when it came to values and religion and economics and, you know, whether you're conservative or liberal, we all were going to live with people like us, that increasingly Americans can't tolerate differences of opinion. It's gotten really extreme in recent years. And if you do live in a neighborhood like that, eventually you want to conform. And if you have a different opinion on a hot button issue, do you want people staring at you weirdly at a barbecue or at a cocktail party? You're just going to dodge the issue, or you might publicly say something they don't really believe. But I've seen people do this. Some people I know, and I see them in action publicly with other people, and they'll say something or they'll give the impression they agree with you. And I'll say to them later, it's like, you don't really believe that. He goes, yeah, but I don't want to get into a fight at the party. Kid Tim Conway's here.
Hey now. Well, we've got some news on Iraq, Baghdad, Iraq. There's going to be a heat warning. There's going to be an electrical shortage, and there's bacteria in their water.
No, that's here.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Now that you mention it, that's here.
That's L.A.
All right. They got it going on over there. So the water's polluted. You can't go in the ocean. Yeah. You can't go in Big Bear Lake because that'll kill you, the bacteria.
Right. Yeah.
And then you can't use electricity, and there's no water.
No.
But other than that, Mark Thompson's here. No. Ding dong with you, buddy.
Thank you, Tim. Thank you, John.
You have Mark here. You don't need water and power.
No, you don't. That's right.
Yeah, Mark's ahead of the curve. He already has his electric car all set up together.
Yeah, I was an early adopter on that.
That's right. And early adopter to solar, too.
Yes, I've been an early adopter. I'm cutting edge.
Right? Yeah. No meat, lots of sun.
That's right. That's my house. Yep.
And then Las Vegas is renamed the happiest travel destination in North America for guys that are not named Mark Thompson.
I've left a lot of money there, it's true.
These are all the people who didn't lose money?
That's right. It is, you know, Las Vegas, John, you've been there before.
Sure.
It's the greatest place in the world when you're driving over that last hump to get there, and you can see the Luxor and Mandalay Bay, and you got a pocket full of money, and it's great.
Nothing but potential at that point.
That's right.
You have such an exciting future.
Right. Yeah. And then you find yourself 3 days later at Terrible's Golf gas station, trying to buy a Snickers bar with your loose change, trying to get home on 8 gallons of gas.
Yeah, dreams are broken in 48 hours. It's true.
But you'll go back.
But you go back. Yeah. You go back to collect your... I heard a stat, though. When you go to Vegas and you try to double your money, you go with $1,000, you try to double it to two, that 94.5% of the time you go to zero before you go to double.
But here's the thing.
Isn't that wild?
If you double it in the first hour, let's say,
right?
What are you going to do?
Yeah, you got it.
You're going to keep playing, and now you're back down. That's how you lose it.
That's how you lose it.
Anyway, so we, you know, that's one.
I concede to the experts here.
That's right.
I'm sure you guys have lost more often than trying to double.
I went to Las Vegas with Mark Thompson. He left on a Wednesday. He went early. I left Friday after work. And so we spent Friday, Saturday, and Sunday in Las Vegas, and we came back Monday. And he was staying at a different hotel than I was. And we called each other every day, text each other, but never saw each other.
Well, the whole idea was to go down the same weekend so we could hang out together. We never saw each other.
Because I got hot at the table, then he got hot, then I was tired, then he was drunk, then I was buzzed, and never hooked up.
And we lived happily ever after. Sorry. All right, big show. Though.
Sorry I missed all that. Yeah. All right, we got Thompson, Conway, Cruiser's got the news. KFI, KSTHD2, Los Angeles, Orange County, live everywhere in the iHeartRadio app. It's never been more important to diversify your financial portfolio.
Well, that's right. The S&P is down 20% from the last year, and this year looks even worse.
Gold and precious metals offer a hedge against inflation and stock market volatility. And Legacy Precious Metals is the company Ken and I trust.
Protect your retirement account by rolling it into a gold-backed IRA or have metals shipped directly to your door.
Call our friends at Legacy Precious Metals today at 866-691-2173.
Or visit buylegacygold.com.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Nobody wants to outlive their money, but it happens, especially for women. That's why Gainbridge offers the Parity Flex annuity, designed for women's unique retirement needs, with flexible withdrawals plus a guaranteed lifetime income benefit that keeps paying you even if your account balance is zero. Gainbridge is helping build a better financial future for women. Retirement income you can't outlive is the ultimate flex. Start saving now at Gainbridge.io. Visit Gainbridge.io. /ParityFlex for current rates, full product disclosures and disclaimers, and other important information.